to the Meir and Rav Yosi regarding the Mishanim and Rabbi Shetavu Chachamim with brachas. Rav Yosi says lo yotza, and Rav Meir says yotza. The case involved is instead of saying hamoitzi or berku hoetz on pas or on te'eno, says kama no pasu baruch hamokim shebro. He says, "Kama no tein azu baruch hamokim shebro." So, Ganson is Mishanim in Rabbeir Shetavu Chachamim Mebrachas. The Meir says that b'di'evid yoytzi. Rabbi Yosi says b'di'evid yinat yoytzi. So, the Gemara originally thought that this is totally in the machlekes hamaroyim between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Huna regarding al kulam and biruch shahakol yotza, whether shahakol b'di'evid would be acceptable on pasayin. Taisa says it's a pella. The machlokes hamaroyim is only on pas v'yayin, on te'eno. They all agree that the b'di'evid shahakol would be good. So how can the Gemara have a mean that the two are connected? It's very difficult. Taisa's answer is very difficult. It doesn't really fit into the Gemara. The havamin is a pella. Anyway, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's not at all totally zedizet. So how do we take a praskan la halacha? So you look, they have a tzion. Normally, when there's a machlokes Reb Meir and somebody else, usually Reb Meir loses. Usually Reb Meir's opinion is not accepted. Morris says, Halacha ki Reb Meir big zeiros. The Reb Meir understood psychology well, and whenever it's an issue of big zeiros, so Reb Meir knew how to make a zeiros. Then Tosfos adds on from the Halacha's Gedolos, only Halacha ki Reb Meir big zeiros, but lo big knasos, if he's making a knas, then we don't follow Reb Meir. Only when he makes a zeiros, the Rabbanan. Here it's not a zeiros, it's not a knas, they're real bona fide machlokes on the level of the Rabbanan. It's not a machlokes on the level of the Raisin. You're not supposed to be mishan and be'er shetalach hachamim mebrachis lachatchil. Everyone agrees not to be mishan. Shal is b'di'evid. If you're mishan, do you say lo yotza or b'di'evid yotza? So they have a tziyun on the Rambam. You look in the Rambam, it doesn't really say that he perik aleph mebrachis. He says it's not proper, not supposed to be mishan and be'er. In Hilchas Kriyashma, the Rambam writes down the din that you have to recite Hilchas Kriyashma before and after Kriyashma. So there the Rambam writes explicitly, you're not yotze v'chayze mevorach. But in Hilchas Brachas he just says, l'chatchili not allowed to be mishana. Sounds very much the b'di'evid, you would be yotze. Sounds like Rav Meir, so it's not my problem, it's astira in the Rambam. How come in Hilchas Brachas, with respect to all other brachas, it sounds like b'di'evid, he paskins like Rav Meir, the b'di'evid, you yotze, even in mishana. And with respect to Hilchas Brachas Kriyashma, manishtana, why should Hilchas Kriyashma Birchas Kriyashma be more chomer than all other brachas? Rav Soloveitchik suggested a teretz. It's a little bit bekoishi, but he suggested a teretz. And maybe Birchas Kriyashma midirabbanon blends in to be part of Kriyashma. Unlike Birchas HaMitzvah of Tfilin, Birchas HaMitzvah of Tzitzis doesn't blend in to enhance the mitzvah of Tzitzis or to enhance the mitzvah of Tfilin. Even midirabbanon, if you put on tefillin, you didn't say a bracha, you're yotze in the mitzvah of tefillin, the bracha is not miyak. The chachamim made a takana, you should recite a birchas hamitzvah before you put on the tefillin, before you put on the tzitzis. But they didn't say that this enhances the mitzvah of tzitzis or tefillin. The only time we say like that is by birchas kriyashma, because as the Rashba points out in the Tshuvas, the birchas kriyashma spell out the themes that are contained within each one of the parshas of Shema. Basically, there are three parshas of Shema, and there are basically three birchas kriyashma. Hashkidenu is not really, it's a question, is Hashkidenu part of birchas kriyashma? No. The first birchas kriyashma is lahaskin midas yom balayla, midas layla bayom. We say both bayom and balayla, golam impnei choshev, chochoshev impnei yor. Gemara points it out in the first parak, that the theme of the first baruch of birchas kriyashma is the theme of monotheism. Unlike the Ummah Sa'olam, who would worship different gods, they believed there's a god of light and a god of darkness and a god of good and a god of evil and a god of this and a god of that. We say Hashem Echod. We say Bar Yom Eloilom. Yotzeron Bar Yechosha. God created everything day and night. There's only one God. So that's why we say in Birchas Kriyashma Shel Shachris, we say Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kvod Hashem Imkomo. We are spelling out the theme that is contained within the first parsha of Kriyashma, namely Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim, Achdus Hashem, and we recite the Dovah Shebikdush of Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The second of the Birchas Kriyashma is the Gemara says in the first parak on Daf, where is it? Yud Aleph Amud Beis, I think, that the second bracha of Birchas Kriyashma can substitute for Birchas HaTorah. If a person hasn't yet recited Birchas HaTorah,
And he says, Avaraba, Avasarimam, so this Yotzeh B'Rikas HaTer. So this spells out the theme of the second Bracha B'Rikas Kriyashma is Liman HaTer, the importance of Torah, Mitzvah, Zchut, Mishpat, Masan, Limarato. It spells out the theme of the second parasha of Shema. The theme of the first parasha is Kabbalah Samach Shema. The theme of the second parasha is Kabbalah Samach Shema. And the importance of Liman HaTer. In the third Bracha, Emes V'Yatziv in the morning, or Emes V'Mun at night, is the theme of Gual Yisrael Gula, where we mention we are spelling out the themes, emphasizing the themes of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the Tosefta quoted by the Yerushalmi, the Rishonim quote the Riv, and the Rosh quote the Tosefta, which is quoted in Yerushalmi also. They say we don't have to mention all of the Esamakas in Emes V'Yatziv, Emes V'Emunah, but we should single out mentioning, honorable mention should be given to Makas Bechoris, the last of the Esamakas, and Kriyas Yamsuf. So that's what we do mention it. So really the theme of Emes Yatziv of Emes Yemunah is that we are spelling out the theme of the third parasha in Shema. Hashkiveinu is a question, what's the status of Hashkiveinu? The Gemara asks if you need Smichas Gula Latvila by Arvis, and where do you, on Dalet on the base, and the Gemara says, so where do you have Smichas Gula Latvila? You say Hashkiveinu in between. And days of the Gemara, they didn't say Baruch Hashem Le'olam, that was added later. That's what Tesis raises the issue. What's with Baruch Hashem Le'olam? But in days of the Gemara, they said Hashkiveinu, and Mishnah say Hashkiveinu. So the Gemara says, Kivin the Tkiner Abanon, the Sintra Chacham instituted the reciting of Hashkiveinu, it's Kigula Arichtadam. The Rishonim have two pshatim how to translate the words of the Gemara. Where the Kigula Arichta means it's really a hemshech of the theme of Gual Yisrael, because on Leil Makas Bechoris the Jews were petrified. They heard Ein Bayis Asher Ein Shameis, and in every home where the Mitzriv lived, someone died, either a Pchol Aviv, a Pchol Imo, or somebody died. So they were afraid that by the Jews also going to die. They were promised in advance nothing would happen, but they were. That's what to be nervous about. If all around every Mitzri home someone dies, they were all concerned. So they prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that occasion, Hashkiveinu Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Amdeinu L'chaim L'shalom, that give us the ability to fall asleep. We shouldn't be tossing around and turning a whole night from Pachat, and we should all wake up alive and kicking in the morning. Everyone should be well. No one should die among the Jewish people. So some Rishonim understand the Gemara literally, Hashkiveinu is Kigula Arich Nadami, it's a Hemshech of Gual Yisrael. Others say that's not what it means. It means whatever the Chachamim are Mesakin is not a Hefsek, like the Rosh posed the question. How can you say Yaknahaz, Yai Kiddush Ner Abdullah's Man? So you say Kiddush Ner Abdullah's Man, Shech Yoru's Man. In between the birthday of Ravan and the drinking of the wine, how you be Mapsik over here? So the Rosh says the whole institution of Bichas Hanenin is a Takonad Rabbanon. Say, hey, Mamma, Bey, Mamma. Whatever the Chachamim are Mesakin, so there is no problem. So since they are Mesakin, we should recite Yaknahaz, so the Kach Tikna Chachamim, so it's not a Hefsek. So here also, one can say that that's what the Gemara means. Kibin the Tikna Rabbanah Hashem Svasai Tiftach Kitfila Arichtadam. Kibin the Tikna Rabbanah Hashkiveinu Kigula Arichtadam. Doesn't necessarily mean Hashem Svasai Tiftach is an integral part of the Shemona Esrei, and Hashkiveinu is considered Mamsha Hemshech of Gol Yisrael. It means whatever the Chachamim are Mesakin is not a Hepsik, and therefore there's no problem of Smichas Gula L'Tfilah. The other Rishonim hold no. It means Hashem Svasai Tiftach is an integral part of the Shemona Esrei. And Hashkiveinu is Gula Richta. That's not good enough. Masha Tikna Chachamim is not a Hefsik. That's a different story. What the Rosh said is correct. Whatever Masha Tikna Chachamim, whatever the Chachamim of Misakin is not a Hefsik. Fine, that's not a Hefsik. But here you want to have Smichas Gula L'Tfila. That's not sufficient that you don't have a Hefsik. Smichas means it should be B'samach. So what's the answer? It's not enough to say that it's not a Hefsik. You want to have Smichas? So that's what the Gemara has to answer. No, Shem Svasa Tiftach is Tfilah Richta. It's an integral part of the Shemana Esrei. And the Shemana Esrei ends with Yir L'Ratzim Merfi. It doesn't end with Amorach HaSam Yisrael Bashom. The Gemara says the Chachamim Wamesakin, Hashem Svasa Tiftach before the Shemana Esrei, Yir L'Ratzim after the Shemana Esrei. So that point is the Machlek, is the Rashba and the Raivin. Rashba quotes the Raivin and disagrees with him at the end of the first parish. When you say Yir L'Ratzim Merfi at the end of the Shemana Esrei, is that the Bchina of Tachnune Macha Tvilosai? This Pasuk from Tilim, Yehu L'Ratzim Refi, should be recited at the conclusion of all of the Tachnune Macha Tvilosai. This should be the concluding Bchina. After the Tvila, Yehu L'Ratzim Refi, that the prayer should be accepted. Or do you say, no, Yehu L'Ratzim Refi is the end of the Shemana Esrei. You're not finished when you say, Amvorach HaSam Yisrael B'Hashom Al Pidin, you didn't finish the Shemana Esrei yet. until you say Yul Rotzin everything. The Bein Afkamina, major Afkamina. Let's say the Chazan is ready up to Kedusha. So you're not allowed to answer Kedusha in the middle of Shmona Esrei. The Gemara says earlier in the first paragraph, you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Birchas Kriyashma, middle of Kriyashma, you are permitted to be mafsik. But in the middle of Shmona Esrei, you're not allowed to be mafsik. And the Gemara says, even for Yehesh Mei Rabbi Mevarach, you're not allowed to be mafsik. What if you already finished the Shmona Esrei? And you didn't say Elokai Netzol Lashon Emeira. So then we say in Shulchan Aruch that you are permitted to answer Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. So when are you considered having completed the Shmona Esrei? When you say Am Baruch Hashem Yisrael B'Hasholam, or only after you say Yul Ratzon Emeifi? So that's a machlokes. The Rashba and the Ritva, their opinion is quoted in Shulchan Aruch that's considered an integral part of the Shmona Esrei. You're not allowed to answer Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu after saying you have to say Yul Ratzon Emeifi. And the Rabbi disagrees. The Rabbi says, no, the Shmona Esrei is over when you say Baruch Hashem Yisrael B'Hasholam. Yul Ratzon Emeifi is Tachnunim Achat Tfilos. As many Tachnunim is going to say, should always conclude with that Tchina. That should be the last, that should be the concluding Tchina. And if you said Yul Ratzon already, you want to say another Tchina, so conclude after that Tchina, say again Yul Ratzon Emeifi. So this is a major machlokes of Rishonim. How does one view Yul Ratzon Emeifi at the end of the Shmona Esrei? So, and the Gemara puts together B'Nishim Achas. Hashem saw it Tiftach before the Shmona Esrei, Yul Ratzon Emeifi after the Shmona Esrei. So probably the same Machlokes you have, Machlokes the Rashba and the Raiva regarding the nature of Yul Ratzon will probably be the same Machlokes regarding Hashem saw it Tiftach. Strange, the Mishnah Brura and the Bi Aruch raises the question, what if a person starts Shmona Esrei, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokei Aviseinu, and he didn't say Hashem saw it Tiftach, is that Likuva or is it not Likuva? Is an integral part, is Hashem Svaset Tifach an integral part of the Shmona Esrei, or is that a tchina that we recite before we begin the Shmona Esrei? Shmona Esrei really begins with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu. So L'chora, it should be parallel to whatever Yul Ratzon is at the end of the Shmona Esrei. That's what Hashem Svaset Tifach is at the beginning of the Shmona Esrei, because the Gemara puts the two together. Somehow the Mishnah Brura doesn't point out that he'or. But the Pashna should be like that. So since the Psak HaMekubal and Shulchan Aruch is the Chaber, nobody argues them. Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote it. Some Machlokes. The Rashba quotes the Raiva that you see. Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rashba and the Tshuvas HaRashba and the Tshuvas HaRitva. They both say the same thing. That Yul Ratzon Emeifi is an integral part of the Shmona Esrei. You're not permitted to begin to answer Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu until after you say Yul Ratzon Emeifi. Before you say Elokai Netzol Lashon Emeira, you may answer, but before Yul Ratzon Emeifi, you're not allowed. So then the Pashto says that we should assume that Hashem Svaset Tiftach is also an integral part of the Shmona Esrei. So that's what the Mishnah Brura raises the question. Why did the Magen Avraham quote in the name of the Arizal when the Chazan repeats the Shmona Esrei out loud? We should say Hashem Svaset Tiftach softly. We should only start out loud from Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Aviseinu. If one should entertain such a svara that Hashem Svaset Tiftach is considered part of the Shmona Esrei, so why don't we insist that the Chazan should say that out loud also? So the Mishnah Brura says, why should he say that out loud? That's only a personal true. He's saying the first line of the Shmona Esrei Balachash, but he says, who says he has to say the whole Shmona Esrei B'Kol Rom? That's what the Mishnah Brura says. In another place, the Mishnah Brura contradicts that. He says, when the Chazan says Moedim and the Tzibur says Moedim Derabanan, the Chazan should say Moedim out loud. Chazan is supposed to say every word of the Shmona Esrei out loud. So why all of a sudden over here by Hashem Svaset Tiftach, he's prepared to go along with the Magen Avraham Hashem or Arizal. Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Kisvi or Arizal that Hashem Svaset Tiftach can be recited by Lach. It doesn't have to be recited by Kol Rom. This is Sefer Siach Yitzchok, written by Asfardi, a Maseches Yuma. And every omelet in the Gemara, in the regular Vilna Shas, they write down Ayin Siach Yitzchok, Ayin Shin Yud. Usually he has Hagoas on the Tosfos Rishonim on the side. So this same author who wrote the Sech Yitzchak on Yuma, that's a classic, everybody uses that, wrote another Sech Yitzchak on Chagiga, on Maseches Chagiga, and at the end of that volume, thin, very thin volume, at the end of the volume on Chagiga, he has Sech Yitzchak on the Seder HaTfilah, on the Shmona Esrei. So the first comment he has is on the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Arizal, the Chazan should recite Hashem Svaset Tiftach Balachash, as it says in the Kisvei Arizal. So he says he looked in the Kisvei Arizal, doesn't exist. He says it doesn't say you should say Balachash. And he claims that in the Beis HaKnesses of Arizal and Eretz Yisrael, where they follow the Menogam of the Arizal, they say it B'Kol Rom. Quite a few Achronim write like that, that they don't agree with this Magen Avraham. They think you should say Hashem Svaset Tiftach out loud. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. Because he thought, since we follow that sheet in Shulchan Aruch, that Yil Ratzin is an integral part of the Shemana Esrei, that you're not allowed to answer Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu until after he said Yil Ratzin. So he thought that Hashem Sosei Tiftach is part of the Shemana Esrei. Then the Mishnah Berurah says you should say Moedim out loud. Chazan should say everything out loud. He's saying that it's not a private Shemana Esrei. He's saying the Tefillah on behalf of the whole Tzibur. So you should say everything out loud. Whatever, you don't have nine people hearing from the Chazan, so it's as if he didn't say it. It's not a private, personal Shemana Esrei. It's supposed to be the Tefillah HaTzibur. When you daven Balachash, that's Tefillah HaYochid, Tefillah Bitzibur. When the Chazan repeats the Shemana Esrei, that's Tefillah HaTzibur. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. The more correct is that you should say Hashem Soseh Tiftach out loud. So that's a big machlekes regarding Hashkiveinu. The end of the first perek, the Rishonim and the Rabbein Yoni, they treat Hashkiveinu as Geula Richto literally. Whenever you say Geula, you say Hashkiveinu. Oh no, Geula Richto just means it's not a hefsek, but it doesn't mean that it's part of Geula. There are cases where you say Geula, so you won't say it all Hashkiveinu. Gemara says that if a person didn't say Kriya Shema yet with the brachas till after Alos HaShachar, so the Gemara says he can still say Kriya Shema. Where is that Gemara? So the Gemara says when you say Kriya Shema so late, so you should leave out Hashkiveinu. So there. Where's the Gemara? Yudal?
Yes.
Daf Tes. Vlad Shalayama Hashkivein. Right. Yes, the Machloik is Rashi Tesis. And Daf Tes Amaral. So it says if he's saying Kriyashma Shalayla very late, either after Alos HaShachar or Samach Alos HaShachar, question Rashi Tesis exactly how late are you saying Kriyashma? So you should only say Birchas Kriyashma, you should leave out Hashkivein. So there, the Rabbeinu Yonah has a machlokes. The Rosh Rabbeinu Yonah have a machlokes. So Rishonim, what does it mean? You leave out the whole Hashkiveinu, because Hashkiveinu is a prayer that's to be recited. It's separate. Hashkiveinu is a separate bracha, unrelated to the three birchas kriyashma. Basically, by Ma'ariv, same as Shachris, there are only three birchas kriyashma. Hashkiveinu is not part of birchas kriyashma. It's like hamapil. It's a prayer that you recite when normal people are going to sleep. Because after Alos HaShachar, normal people are not going to sleep. So then you should leave out Hashkiveinu. The other Rishonim say, no, just leave out the first line in Hashkiveinu. But the rest of Hashkiveinu is Gula Richto, so you should say the rest of Hashkiveinu. So that's a fundamental machlokes. What's the status of Hashkiveinu? When the Gemara said Hashkiveinu is Gula Richto, is it to be taken literally? It's a Hemshech of Gual Yisrael by Lailo? Oh no, the Gemara just meant to say that it's not a Hepsik. It's whatever the Chachamim Amisakan is not a Hepsik. So that's a machlokes. So here, so getting back to Avivi. Had a problem in the Rambam, there seems to be a contradiction. By Birchas Kriya Shema, the Rambam writes, if you mashanim be'er shetavach ha'homim be'brochas, eina toya, eina la toya, v'choyza mevarech, you have to repeat the brochas. He says it's makke v'diyevet. And Perek Aleph in Hilchas Brochas, the Maramokim that the Mitzayin here, Aloch Avav, he doesn't say choyza mevarech. He says it's not proper. He says it's not proper to be Mishana. And the case the Mishnah says from the Loshna Ramam there, Perak Alpha Lochain Brochas, it sounds like Bidiyevid, Yuayot, that's a stira. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Perhaps the teretz is that just like Kriyashma needs Kichsovo, you have to recite it the way it says in the Chumash. And there's a Machlekes Hatanoim, can you be Yotzi Kriyashma B'chol Loshan in translation? So we paskin yes. That's the beginning of the second Perak, I think. If you recite in translation. So we paskin, yes, yotzi in translation, but it has to be a literal translation. Not just to say, we believe in monotheism, we love God, and we have to put on tefillin shayad and tefillin shorosh, hang a mezuzah on the doorpost, that's not good, it has to be a literal translation. There's even a machlokes, Rabbi Kivega and others, how literal does the translation have to be? Because Rabbi Kivega says that it has to be word for word, literal, literal. The other Acharonim ask, what do you mean, word for word? If you say it in English, it's the opposite. Sometimes it'll mean the opposite. I forgot already which pasuk. So, in different languages, if you take word for word, literal translation, so it's going to mean the wrong, it's going to have the wrong meaning. So that's a machlokes Acharonim, how far do you go? Well, on the insistence that it has to be a literal translation. But that is the principle, that Kriya Shema has to be recited kichsavah. It's a text in Tanakh, a text in Chumash. You have to say Kirchsov. So even the Birchas Kriya Shema also, you can't use the terminology Kichsova. That's not Kisvei HaKadosh. But you can say that the Kinus Chosa is the Ikuva. The Chachamim, not Sheknes HaGdola, whoever touched it up, the Omesak and Anusach. So you say, HaMashanam HaBeh Shetav HaChamim Brachas by Birchas Kriya Shema is Ma'akib B'Yevid. Why? Because the Birchas Kriya Shema blend in to be one unit with the Kriya Shema. Each one of the three Birchas Kriya Shema spell out the themes of each one of the three Parshias of Shema. That's what the Rashba pointed out. You have other differences also we showed in the Rambam on other occasions. There are other differences between Birchas Kriya Shema and other Birchas HaMitzvahs. That here the Birchas Kriya Shema blend in to be one Kiyum with the Kriya Shema. So maybe the Rambam Pshita is it over here. HaMashanim HaMabir Shetavah HaChamim B'Birchas Kriya Shema, that's Me'akev B'Yevet. But HaMashanim HaMabir Shetavah HaChamim B'Shar Brachas, that's not Me'akev B'Yevet. That seems perhaps to be, unless you should assume that Rambam changed his mind. It's also possible. But the two Rambams are near each other. One is in Hilchos Kriya Shema, one is in Hilchos Brachas. It's hard to say change his mind from one volume to the other. Maybe he changed his mind. So over here, perhaps this is the Yishuv on the Rambam. Anyway, but in the Gemara, they don't make such a distinction. If that is the correct answer in the Rambam, it's problematic. Where did he get it from the Gemara? Where does he have such a mark on the Gemara? The Gemara quotes the Mishnah from Soita, the Eilei Namar Mechol Oshem. There is certain, let's say, duchening has to be recited in the original Hebrew. If the Kohen can't pronounce Hebrew, so he cannot duchen in translation. Abichas Amozen in Tefillah, in Kriya Shema, we pass. Kriya Shema is a machlekes HaTanoim. So Ipaskin can be fulfilled B'chol Oshem. It's a question in Rishonim, what if I recite Kriya Shema in English and I don't understand English? Will I be Yotzei or not? Two opinions in the Rishonim. The Achrayim have developed the following Psak Halacha L'maise, that it's similar to Mikra Megillah. That Megillah, the Mishnah says, Haloyesh Hashem Ashuris Yotzei, Lois means one that doesn't understand Hebrew. So whoever hears the Megillah in Hebrew is Yotzei, even if he does not understand a word of Hebrew. And whoever hears the Megillah, if you have a Megillah, Haksuba B'chol Oshem, Megillah is written, Kolmose L'giftis L'giftim, or L'Yavonim B'Yavonis. Whoever understands that language, if the Megillah is written in another language, he Yotzei that. So that's what the Haskama Sachreinim is like that, not like the Rishonim. They say, if you'll daven in translation, you say Kriya Shema in translation, will you be Yotzei? So you say, if you daven and you say Kriya Shema in the original Hebrew, you Yotzei even if you don't understand Hebrew, like Megillah. And if you daven in translation, they say Kriya Shema in translation, only those who understand the language will be it. Same as by Mikra Megillah.
So, I just back to Mikra for a second. If you didn't have proper kavana for Zachir Sitzin Shrine in the third parsha, can you Yotzei by having kavana during the bracha of Emes Yotzei of Emuna and the Yonim mentioned? Doesn't have to be a plus like that.
The Gemara says he can. The Gemara earlier in Bracha says that in Eretz Yisrael a lot of communities had the practice that they left the third parsha of Shema Balayla because Tzitzis is not Nehegas Balayla, but you have to mention Zechiris Tzitzis Mitzrayim Balayla, so they would mention Emes V'Yamuna. And then the Gemara says that you Yotze by saying Emes V'Yatzeb, Emes V'Yamuna, you Yotze Zechiris Tzitzis Mitzrayim.
Special
exception because of Pirsuman
Yisodafa.
Yeah.
That's why people
are Yotzeb,
but in
Kriya Shema,
they
don't know
so why would it be
right, similar? That's the Tosfos says like that it's an except Tosfos, and beginning of Shlosh Shachla says, on Daf Memheim Beis, where they quote Megillah Daf Yitzayin, it's an exception to the rule that you should really not allow Shemer Koina. If I'm not reading the Megillah myself, I hear that from the Bal Koirei, so how am I Yotzeb the Megillah based on Shemer Koina? So Tosfos' opinion is in disagreement with Rashi. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos says, you only say Shomei HaKoyin if number one, who Shomei, if he hears. Number two, who Meivin. If he doesn't understand, lo Shomei. It's not called Shomei. But if I'm reading the Megillah myself, even if I don't understand, Lav Yotzei, that's not an exception to the rule. Tosfos says, the exception to the rule is that I apply Shomei HaKoyin, even though I don't understand it. It should be considered Eino Shomei. So that's an exception. But if you say Kiddush, you say benching, in Hebrew, you don't understand Hebrew, so that's not an exception to the rule. That's the rule, that if you say in the original text, it's even if you don't understand Hebrew, you say in translation, the Hebrew language is an official language. The Baruch Shalom created the world Beloshna Kodesh. Vayom Alekim Yihor, Vayom Alekim Yihir Rakia, said the Asara Mamoris were Beloshna Kodesh. So Hebrew is a language, whether you understand it or not. The other languages are only considered a language for those who understand. Whoever doesn't understand is gibberish. So it's not called a language. So if you recite the bracha yourself, you know what the theme of the bracha is, but you don't know what the words mean. So if you recite the bracha in Hebrew, then the poskim say yoytzi, even though you don't understand Hebrew. By mikra megillah, it's even an added kuli. You even say shemei koine, even though you don't understand Hebrew. That's a chiddush. That's the chiddush. Mishum pesum inis. Okay. So then the next mishnah on mem on the base, the mishnah says on fruits he say bar pihuets, on vegetables he say bar pri adama. And what if it's adama shein gedulim in haaretz? Then you say shakol nimudva. Sometimes even though the thing is gedulim in haaretz, and the bracha should have been amoitzi, hapas sheipsha. The bracha should have been amoitzi hapas, but since it's ipush, it's spoiled, so the bracha is knocked down to shakol. Like if a person eats food, shalok derech achilasa. So we had the Gemara before with the Tosfos that the broch is knocked down to shachlus. Here also, you eat food that's spoiled, or you drink wine that's hechmetz. The yayin was not supposed to. That was an accident that it turned into, it's soured and it turned into vinegar. It's spoiled. So yayin shehechmetz or yayin shehikrim, it's already starting to spoil. You have tiny particles floating on top. So then the bracha is knocked down to shakur. The Buddha says, Kol shom min klola, eim evrocha molav at all. You don't say a bracha at all. Whenever you have something that's spoiled, no bracha is recited at all.
But if you look at derech achila,
you know, you eat some shakur derech achila, like intravenously, but who's going to have intravenous? And if they're compass made, is that they can make brachas, or they make a bracha on something like it? I don't think so. Then you're not allowed to get it unless he's a chodesh eish b'sakana, because it's getting hanoah. But if the intravenous is macholas asuris which are muta b'hanoah, that's het gomer, even if he's not a chodesh m'sukan, because it's not called achil at all. This radiation has a tshuva about that to a doctor, so not to a talmid chacham. So he spells it out very clearly. And he says that the intravenous feeding is only called achil if it goes down the base habli. I have to swallow it through the throat. If they put in tube feeding directly into the stomach or intravenous that goes into the blood system, that's not called achila. Yom Kippur, that's not called a violation of inui. Yom Kippur, even though the person feels satisfied, he feels satiated, but the prohibition of Yom Kippur is also only derech achila. If he doesn't do derech achila, so he's not in violation of Yom Kippur. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He says a person who needs intravenous, he needs to eat on Yom Kippur in order that he shouldn't die. He's not mechuyev. There's no minus chasidus that he should take intravenous in order not to violate any. If it's mutter to eat, so goes into it and eat. Mutter is mutter. Some people don't have the heart to eat. If they're fasting for 85 years, so they refuse to eat on Yom Kippur. So they insist they want to have intravenous. Okay, but Rav Moshe says he can't tell a person that because nefesh on Yom Kippur is dechuya. So therefore, if you can avoid eating the food, you can take it intravenously. So take it and he said, no, that's not called Efshe L'Kayim Shneim. That's normal. Yachol Mesukan. Eat the food on Yom Kippur. The intravenous is not considered Achila. It's not only Shalok Yaderach Achila. It's not called Achila at all, because it doesn't go down the base of Leo. So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is not Brocha is recited at all. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like the Tanakama, that the Brocha is knocked down to Shahakol. Govai. Govai are grasshoppers, locusts, that are going to eat up all the tefuah. So that's a klala. So that's a curse. So the we paskin that you say shahakol on govai, like on flesh. You say on kosher grasshoppers, they're a kosher and they're an non-kosher. They're a simonim. How do they identify which are the kosher ones? So we paskin that you say shahakol, even though it's a min klala, even though it's going to eat up, it's going to cause a plague and it's going to eat up all the tefuah, we still say shahakol. And the same thing if you have Yain Shehikrim started to have particles floating on top. It's beginning to spoil. And the Pas Sheipsha, he's still passing that the Bracha is Shakol Nimitvar. Then the Gemara has a comment on the Novelos. What exactly does the word Novelos mean? So Novelos, Alpi Pashtus, means that it fell down from the tree. So the Gemara has one suggestion, Tamid Diziko, that the wind knocks down some of the dates on the ground. So the Gemara says that's going to be Shakol. It's a regular ha'etz, and Rabbi Yehuda is going to say it's a min klala. What's the klala? It always happens. Rabbi Yehuda says, eat the dates, you don't say a bracha. It doesn't make any sense. The Tarakama doesn't make sense that it should be Shahakman. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make sense. The Gemara says, no. It cannot be novelos in the context of our Mishnah. It cannot be a question what it means. For sure, it doesn't mean Tamar Dezika. It doesn't mean Miloshin. The word Navolti Bol by Moshe Rabbeinu means you will wither away. Yisrael tells Moshe Rabbeinu Navolti Bol. Then you have Ole Yibol. Ole Yibol doesn't mean, sometimes it means a leaf will wither away, and sometimes it means a leaf will fall down. It just means to fall down. So that's the question, how do you translate Novlos in the Mishnah? Novlos means Tamar Dezika, the wind blew it down, it fell down. So that's a regular fruit. Why isn't it Minklola? Why should Rabbi Yehuda say no brocha? Why should Tanakhama say that it should be shakal? So clearly in the context of our Mishnah, the word Novlos means Bush Le Kumra. What does that mean? That the sun beats down too much on these fruits and they get burnt and they're half spoiled because of the sun. So that's a Minklola. That's not normal that should happen. There's always a certain percentage of the dates that are going to be ruined because of that. Of the figs or the dates that are going to be ruined because of that, but that's a minklolo. So that's, we understand why the Tanakhama says that it's shahakol, we understand why Rabbi Yehuda says no brach at all. Where is there a machlekes hamarayim? What's a translation of the word novlos? That's in the Mishnah in Demai. There is an institution of Demai that was instituted, a chumra midirabana, that was instituted towards the end of the period of the Bayesheni. The Institute of the Chumrah, even though Rovam Haaretz were Ma'asrin Hain, so really when you buy Tvua from an Amoritz, you should have the right to follow the Rav, number one. Number two, the Amoritz tells you, he tells me that he was Ma'afrish Trumas and Ma'asrin, so I should really have the right to believe him. That's what Rashi writes a few places. You have number one, Eidechadem Yisurim, and number two, you go Basar Rav. Nonetheless, the Chachamim Institute of the Chumrah, whenever you buy from an Amoritz, despite the fact that he tells you and he swears on a Sefer Torah that this is Gemaisa, you have to be Mafrish Maisris on your own. You don't have to be Mafrish Trumas because they're not Chashurim, they're not going to mess around with Truma. Because they all know a little bit Chumash, and Chumash it says that a non-Koyin who eats Truma is Chai Misa B'dei Shamayim. So that they understand if you're going to eat Tevel, a Tovel the Truma, if you eat Tevel where you didn't even take out the Truma Gedela from, then they're not going to mess around with that. But the Maisa Rishon, the Ma'aser Rishon is Mutar Lazarim. So why should they give away Ma'aser Rishon? What, they should make a donation to the Kailov. The Levim are supposed to be Yoram Mishpatach HaLeyankim, it's a Roschel Yisrael. The Amiharetz, who go support the international world Kailov of the Levim, are sitting and learning. Why should we support the learners? Let them go work for a living. So they were Chashudim not to be Mafish Ma'aser Rishon, and not to be Mafish Ma'aser Sheni, and not to be Mafish Ma'aser Rani. So the Truma Gedolah, you don't have to be Mafrish from the Demai, but the Ma'aser Rishon, the Ma'aser Sheni, or Ma'aser Rani, it's the third year, the sixth year, so that you have to be Mafrish. Mafrish b'tad ha'bracha, and the Mishnah is saying Mafrish Demai b'tad ha'bracha. So the Mishnah lists off, there are many kulas in Demai, because Demai is only with the Rabbanon, but Torah Sofik, so there are many kulas, and there are many fruits and vegetables where the Chachamim never introduced the whole Chumra of Demai. Hakal and Shebet Demai. The whole Masechus Demai lists off all the kulas, because the whole din of Demai was only b'toras chumra. He had the din in the beginning of the next parak, Shlosh Shachul Ka'achas, Hayov Mezamein. So the Mishnah says if they ate non-kosher bread, so there's no zimun. Adam Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, what does it mean? So the Rambam says no brocha is recited before or after eating non-kosher food. The Ravid, and as most of the Rishonim say, like the Rambam. The Ravid in a minority in the Shulchan Aruch passing like the Rambam, when one eats non-kosher food, no bracha is recited at all. And the Ravid in a minority of Rishonim go along with the Ravid. They say, no, it's only a din of mezuman. How can you call the Shlosh Shachlu Ka'achas, the bench mezuman, they have to eat together? We have a principle that's developed in the third parak in Sanhedrin and Agarata, that Kesher Rishonim Einam Einam Minyan, where Rishonim get together and they want to unite for a certain purpose. So it's not considered a unity because each one has his own panis, each one has his own gears, each one is out for himself. So as it turns out, they're going to murder someone and they're going to divide all of his money. But each one is killing him for a different reason. I want to kill him because I'm going to get one third, you want to kill him because you're going to get one third, he's going to kill him because he's going to get one third. We're all killing him, but for three different reasons. So the Gemara says, Keshu Rishayim Menem Menem, it's not considered people doing something in unity. If they're doing an aver, because whenever a person does an aver, he does it for his own purpose. They have shlosh shachlu ka'achas macholus asura. So the rabbi says it's not called shlosh shochlu ka'achas. Shlosh shochlu kol echad echad binifra. So however you understand it, whether you understand it like the rabbi said that there's no tzira from mezumen, or you understand like the Rambam kipsak haShulchan Aruch that no birchas hanenin is recited not before, not after at all. But nonetheless, however you understand, the Mishnah says if a person ate the mai, there is a mezumen, and you do recite the bracha before and after. So the Gemara asks why? But if you eat tevel atovel midirabbanon, even though it's only tevel atovel rabban kagon shizor batzitz, but it's she'en onakuv, it's still it's macholos asuris midirabbanon. So the din of the Mishnah applies, whatever the din is, according to the Rav it means there's no mezumen. According to the Rama means no birchas hanenin at all, not before, night after. So manishtana demai. Demai is a tevel midirabbanon. So the Gemara says no. Demai is a chumra midirabbanon. It's not even a real din midirabbanon. But haraya that we paskin there's a machlekes b'shanim beis hillel. We paskin that machilim is aniyim demai. That's the bottom of mem zayin amanal. Because machilim is aniyim demai, that shows that they only instituted it the Torah's chumra. They never really instituted it as a real din. Even though I'm a multimillionaire, I'm a wealthy man, I'm not allowed to eat the mai. So since for anim it's mutter, and a boy mafka l'nichse v'havaliyoni, if I would be mafka my property, I'm not prepared to be mafka. I'm a multi-billionaire. I'm not prepared to be mafka anything on my property. But nonetheless, since it's mutter for anim, so that shows that's only b'taras kum. So that's why it's an exception to the rule. So the same over here, the mai was instituted midirabbana, not as a real bona fide din midirabbana, instituted as a chumra midirabbana, the Torah's chumra. So the Mishnais have all the various kulas in Hilchas Demai. This Mishnah, hakal and shev demai, means a different thing, not kulas in demai. There are certain fruits and vegetables, but they never introduced the whole chumra of demai in the first place. Why? Because the Amehorats are not chashudim on everything. They're only chashudim not to give away the 10% of Maaser Rishon and 9% of Maaser Sheni when it's valuable fruits or vegetables or grain, when they're going to gain something by keeping. These are not such valuable things. Ashis and Arim and Uzrodim and Oshulim and Oshikim and Gufim and Nats and Dovel and Tamar. These things are not so valuable in the first place. A big deal. So the Amehorats knows he's not going to gain so much if he's going to keep an additional 20% or 19%, 10%. Maaser Rishon and 9% Maaser Sheni. So he already gives it away to the Levium and to the Aniyim, and he's mafrish the Maaser Sheni. So the Mishnah lists off there one of the not so valuable fruits is Novlos Tamro. So Novlos Tamro, in that context of that Mishnah, Berak Aleph, Mishnah Aleph in Demai, that's a machlokes Amoraim. But the Novlos Tamro means Bushle Kumra, these fruits that are burnt by the sun beating down on it, they're half spoiled because they're too over-ripened because of the sun beating down. Or it's a reference to the Tamar Dizikah. So that's a machlokes. But in our Mishnah it says Novlos. It doesn't say Novlos Tam. So Novlos in our Mishnah for sure refers to Bush Lekumra, the fruits that are spoiled by the sun. So then the Chachamim hold the bracha is knocked down to Shahakol. You don't say Bori Pri Ha'etz, even though it's a regular fruit, because it's a little bit spoiled. It's like along the lines of Shlok Nerech Achilosa. Rabbi Yehuda says it's knocked down to zero. No bracha is recited all. That's a min klola. No bracha is recited all. So then the Gemara is bothered with the question. They don't really have an answer. The Gemara ends with a kasha. According to that opinion, that the word novelos in our Mishnah, the word novelos in the Mishnah in the beginning of Demai, means the same thing. They're both bush lekumra. So how come there it says novelos tamar, here it says novelos plain? Why don't the both Mishnayis listen to either be novelos tamar or either be novelos tamar? The Gemara says, agut the kasha. And the fact that here in our Mishnah it says novelos, there he uses the terminology novelos kamra, novelos tamra. Doesn't this seem to indicate that there's a different, you're referring to a different fruit? That in our Mishnah we're talking about bushli kamra, and there you're talking about tamra dizik. It's a good kash. The kash is still not the same as the yufta. We mentioned most of the Rishonim assume the Rashbam in Cheskus Abatim, towards the end of Cheskus Abatim, quotes a machlekes agoinim. So the kasha is the same as the yufta. We usually assume, most assume kasha is not the same as the yufta. The yufta means opgefrek, we don't accept it in halacha. The kasha means a good kasha, but we proceed to continue to learn. The kasha doesn't bother us. Then Mishnah recorded the machlokes hatanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. If you have two different items that you want to eat. One of them is a min shiva, one of the shivas aminim, and the other one is the eze sheyirtza. So the Gemara interprets eze sheyirtza means a min that's chaviv. That's a machlekes harishonim. What do you mean by min chaviv? Means that right now I'm more interested in eating the orange because I have a cold and I want vitamin C. So I'm more interested in eating the orange than eating the apple. But usually I like apples better than oranges. But today I want to have more vitamin C. So is that called chaviv? Because the chaviv means the one that I would prefer to eat now. Chaviv means the one, the min, that's chaviv in general. So that's two opinions in the Rishonim. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes the two views. Then the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Machlekes HaRishonim. How do we paskin over here? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Do we paskin like the Chachamim? Normally we should apply the rule Yachad V'Rav Malacha K'Rav. But there is a minority opinion in Rishonim that we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda over here. Because the Gemara talks so much about Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, so they were led to understand that the Psak Halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yehuda. So what case exactly are they fighting about? Rabbi Yehuda and the Rav, where are they arguing? So that's a Machlekes HaRishonim. The Gemara quotes over here, right, the second half of Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. Pligi bo, in the middle of a line. Pligi bo Rabbani v'Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Chana Machlekes v'Shabich HaSem Shabbos. One says the Machlekes and the Mishnah is with the Botho Eitz. The Botho Eitz. And he's going to eat an apple and he's going to eat a pomegranate. But he doesn't really enjoy pomegranates. It stains his hands and it stains his shirt. It's hard to eat. Apples are normal. He's used to eating apples. Not used to, he doesn't enjoy pomegranates. But the holy pomegranate is in Tanakh. It's in the Shivas Aminim, Shabbat Chadam Eretz. What can he do? So he's going to eat a pomegranate and an apple. So one is Chaviv, one is Min Shiva. So that's one opinion in the Gemara is Machlekes B'Shabbich HaSem Shabbos. It's Ha'etz on both. So the question is, it's a Hidur Mitzvah to recite the Ha'etz on the Mochashiva fruit. So which is Mochashiva? The one that's from the Min Shiva? The one that's chaviv. So that's one version. The chadam, the other one says no. Abishem b'chasem shabbos not machlekes. Even if one is I'm going to eat a potato, I'm going to eat a bowl of potatoes, and I'm going to have, and I enjoy potatoes, and I'm going to eat this pomegranate which I don't really enjoy. It's two b'shvat, so they stuck me with the pomegranate. Okay, so I have to say baruch hayetz on the pomegranate. It's from the min shiva. I'm going to say baruch pri hadama on the potato, not from the min shiva. Potatoes are not from the shivas aminim, but it's chaviv. I enjoy eating potatoes. I don't really enjoy tu bishvat. I got to suffer a lot. So I got to eat the pomegranate, but I don't really enjoy it. So that's the second opinion. Echadam, on the other opinion in Amram says no. Machlokes hatanaim is the shem b'chasem shabbos. So the Gemara said shem b'chasem shabbos. So what do you? What is the discussion? B'chasem shabbos is a shaila. Which one will constitute the hidden mitzvah? The bracha is really chala only on the first food that you swallow, and the rest of the food is muta b'li bracha. So the first bit of food is considered the cheftashal mitzvah, so that's a hidden mitzvah, zakeli v'anveyu, to do a hidden mitzvah. So that's the machlokes satanoim, which constitutes the hidden mitzvah, to say the ho'etz on the chaviv, or to say the ho'etz on the min shiva. But if you say the ein bracha, same Shabbos, so the bracha on one is not going to pop to that. I'm going to have to say two brachas anyway. So what's the difference? Which bracha you say first, which bracha you say second? He says, no, lahagdim. No, there isn't it. Sometimes we have rules and regulations. In the end of Maseches Zvachim, we have a whole parak that begins on Daf Pei Tes, and it begins with the words Kol Atodim Machaber Kodim Lachaber Todim Vishena Todim Todim Kodim Mikudish Vena Mikudish Mikudish Kodim. So if I want to do a mitzvah now and I want to do another mitzvah later, so you don't tell me I should wait till later to do the mitzvah from now in order to do the more important mitzvah first. I'm not interested. I don't want to daven mincha now. I want to daven mincha, even though you can daven mincha now, I don't want to daven mincha now. I want to give a shiur now. So you say, but you daven mincha 7 days a week. You only give a shiur 5 days a week. So Torah v'sheinu Torah, Torah kodem. So we should say, we should daven mincha first. It's not, this is man for giving the shiur. I'm not interested in davening mincha. We'll discuss mincha later. So now is the time for giving the shiur. You don't force upon a person a seder kedima in mitzvahs that you have to do first day and then